still is my comforting guide, and his love comforts me, and his grace has set me free, and someday I shall stand by his side. Oh, what a glorious thing. Second verse, one more time. I have shoes.
I have shoes for my feet. I have plenty to eat and a home in heaven by and by. Brothers and sisters on this earth,
by the Lord Jesus, and you are here because he's kept you all this time. Some of us a little longer than others, but he still kept you. And if he wanted you to go, whatever time, that dangerous moment that you had, you would have gone right there and then. But there's a plan for you to fulfill, and you're not going to go anywhere until you fulfill that plan. Amen. So I'm so thankful that he has everything under control. All things work together for good to them that love God, right? And I believe that we all love him here. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Brother Thomas, do you want to help us take up our offering? As he passes that around, let's sing, "The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, He takes control. How many have felt that way before, that when you just can't take it anymore? Amen. He said, cast our burdens upon Him, for He makes them light. Actually, He takes them. And so if we just cast everything upon Him, amen, because He cares for us.
Yesterday are a stumbling stone. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing that chorus one more time.
That we have a place that we can, amen, unload when we're burdened. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. How many are ready for a word tonight? I'm going to go ahead and ask Brother Aaron if he can start preparing to make himself get up here. Couldn't think of a better way to say it. But anyways, amen. Let's sing Word of God Ever True. How many believe that God is going to speak to you tonight? Many times, amen, where, you know, you just seem like, Lord, I have no other place to go but to you. Your word is the only one. Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. And I believe that God has given the fivefold ministry words of eternal life. Amen. So listen to those words. And let them be a comfort to you tonight.
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Good to see each one of you. Amen. Amen. No place I'd rather be. Absolutely. Amen. I might sing. You can be seated. I might sing. Y'all can try to follow along, and I'll just sing. Okay? What was it? Brother Wilson Hembry said that time? Talk about AM? AM was amplitude modulation, and FM means to follow me. If you keep up, if not, just clap your hands. I think it's the key of C, sister. Well, I can tell the world about this. I can tell the nations that I'm blessed. I tell them what Jesus has done. I tell them that the Comforter has come. And he brought joy, great joy to my soul. Yes, I can tell the world about this. I can tell the nations that I'm blessed. I tell them what Jesus has done. I tell them that the Comforter has come. And he brought joy, great joy to my soul. He took my feet from the miry clay. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He placed them on a rock to stay. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He brought joy, great joy to my soul. Yes, I can tell the world about this. I can tell the nations that I'm blessed. I tell them what Jesus has done. I tell them that the Comforter has come. And he brought joy, great joy to my soul. Well, my Lord's done just what he said. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He raised, healed the sick and he raised the dead. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He brought joy, great joy to my soul. Yes, I can tell the world about this. I can tell the nations that I'm blessed. I tell him what Jesus has done. I tell him that the Comforter has come. And he brought joy, great joy to my soul. Yes, I can tell the world about this. I can tell the nation that I'm blessed. I tell them what Jesus has done. I tell them that the Comforter has come. And he brought joy. Oh, yes, he brought joy. So glad he brought joy, great joy to my soul. Amen. We'll practice that some more, but I love that. Did you sing along? Yeah. That's an old, old, old song. Praise him anyhow. But I'm so glad that we can tell the world about what Jesus done for us. I can tell the world about what happened to me. You know, just not. As I was listening to somebody the other day, it's like, you know, we're not making just accusations or statements. It's like we're giving testimony. It's a testimony. It's something that we experience, we live through. Not what anybody else knows. We can tell our own testimony, what our own experience was. And we know what happened to us. If you know what happened to you, you know what you went through, where you came from to where you are today. Amen. I'm so glad that we know what Jesus done for me. And you can say the same thing for you, that you know what God, where God brought you from. Took me out of the miry clay of the world, the sin of the world, and set me on a rock, a firm foundation. Amen. I know where I'm standing at. And praise God that it ain't me that's holding me. It's Him holding me. You know, they asked Brother Branham about that time. It's like, you know, when you lost your wife and your daughter and all the things you've happened in your life, you know, did you keep your religion? He said, no. He kept me. I can't keep myself, but He does. He keeps us. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll look into the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10. We're going to begin at verse 10. Read very familiar scripture, which I believe all of it should be familiar to us. And just look at a few things tonight. Jeremiah chapter 10, begin at verse 10. And I want to look at, titled this, A Time of Visitation. And in the book of Jeremiah, when you look, Jeremiah talks about a time of visitation. He talks about an hour of visitation. And some of the other minor prophets, Hosea and different ones, they talk about this time of visitation. And, you know, you see this comes up. Even Jesus, we'll read here a little bit. You know, even Jesus talks about there was a time of visitation in Jerusalem to the children, to Israel, you know. And they missed their hour of visitation. And we see that, you know, today is the same thing that's happening. Amen. That we live in a day that people don't see the hour. But God is speaking to each one. Amen. And, you know, God speaks to you where you're at. Amen. He knows where you're at in your journey, and God comes and speaks to you. Amen. And, you know, He doesn't speak to all of us the same because we're not all at the same place. But, you know, God knows what you need. Amen. And He comes and speaks to you and opens things to you. And it's whether you want to accept those things or not. And you want to walk with God in a greater way or in a further walk. But, you know, He's a gentleman. But, you can't say that He hadn't offered it to you. Right. Salvation is of the Lord, and He offers it. And, you know, then you have to decide whether you want to accept it or not. But I'm so glad it's a free gift, and all we have to do is accept it. And, you know, it's not anything where people always talk about trying to get good enough to do something. You don't ever have to get good enough to do something. To accept God's favor or God's forgiveness. Because you know what? If you would just accept it and you just yield yourself to it, then God will do a work. Amen. Praise God. It's so wonderful. Realize that you just give it to Him. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads before we read the scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this night, Lord Jesus. We thank You for all those that have come in Your house, Lord Jesus. We thank You for this time, Lord, that we can gather around Your word. We just pray that You bless each one that's here. Lord, that's made an effort, and we know there's many that are tired in their bodies, Lord, maybe sick, whatever the situation is. Lord, we just pray that You just come and touch them. And Lord, those that couldn't be with us tonight, whatever the need is, Lord, we just pray that You be with them and touch them. Lord, those that are watching in now and later, Lord, we just pray that You be with them and touch them, Lord. Give them what they have need of. And Father, just bless the word as we read it tonight. And Lord, just help us get ourselves out of the way that You may be able to speak to us. And Lord Jesus, we find something that in this scripture tonight, Lord, in the word that, Lord, that we can grab a hold of, Lord, that will feed our souls, Lord, that will anchor us, Lord Jesus, that will be an encouragement to us. Lord, that when we go into these battles and this journey, Lord Jesus, we have something that will sustain us, Lord Jesus, that will carry us, Lord, that will keep us, Lord. Lord, we just commit ourselves into Your hands. Lord, we just thank You for all Your blessings on us, Lord. We can't thank You enough, Lord, for all things. We just yield ourselves to You at this time in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Jeremiah chapter 10 and beginning at verse 10. And it says, But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. Thus, thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. God made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding and skill stretched out the heavens. And it says, when he uttered his voice, there is a multitude of waters in heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the works of error. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. And, you know, here in the book of Jeremiah, this scripture is known for one, this time of year. A lot of people like to quote this chapter 10. Gets read a lot. I have to tell a story. I worked with a man years ago, and I didn't know the man believed anything. I knew that he believed in God, but he didn't believe in organized religion. He didn't believe in a whole lot of things. He didn't trust corporations. He didn't trust governments. There was a whole lot of things that he didn't agree with, and he was a little bit of a contentious person, and he just kind of told you what he thought, and he liked to say things sometimes just to say how people would react to what he had to say. And I never knew, you know. I talked to him some, but I mean, you know, he just didn't trust anybody. And if you ever said you promised anything, he just expected, you know, if you didn't just give it to him right then, you know, he didn't trust nobody further than he could throw them, as the old saying is. But one day people were talking about Christmas, and he come along, and then he started quoting Jeremiah 10. I didn't even know the man could quote the scripture. And he started quoting about it. He said, why is it this time of year everybody goes down there, you know, puts up a tree and they're decorating it and everything like that? And he was quoting the scripture, and he's like, well, how's that fit in? He said, the Bible says it's a heathen thing, and he was going on, and I was like, Darryl, I didn't even know you knew the Bible. I never knew that you knew anything about the Bible. But you know, it was always something that, you know, people always say those things. They bring these things out. But it was always interesting how, you know, it was something that was always this contentious thing. But, you know, here in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 10, when you start here in the beginning of the chapter, we'll just read the first five verses here. And it says, Jeremiah chapter 1, it says, hear ye the word which the Lord spaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, he said, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed by the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. You know, Brother Branham talks about that, you know, because one of the times when Brother Branham was talking about that scripture, he's talking about the investigating angels, judgment coming, even in our day, where they're seeing those things. He said, because the heathen are dismayed by them. But the scripture tells us to look up, because the things that take place in the heavens are signs unto us. Just like it was unto Israel, that those were signs to us to see the day and hour in which we live. He said, for the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. He said, they deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails, with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is in them to do good. So we understand that when you go to the scripture, and there's multiple places in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah's rebuking, he rebukes more than one, but he rebukes Israel, for one thing, because of their idolatry. And this is the one scripture where he goes to, and what he's talking about is they're carving out their own gods. They're making their own gods. And he said, you go out in the wood and you cut this thing down and you make your own idol. But this idol can't do anything for you. And so that's the reason when we read the scripture, he said, you have to fasten it, but he said, it can't do evil. It can't speak to you. It can't do good or evil. There's no power in this thing. And then the scripture we were reading earlier, the first passage there, see, it talks about the God of heaven created all these things, and all of your gods can't do any of this. There's no power in your God. So here you are, when you're looking at this, he's talking about their idols, their idolatry, and really it goes back to their beliefs, but really to their unbelief, because they do not believe what they've seen, because God spoke to them, God done things before them to show them his power, and they refused it. And they created their own idol, their own doctrine, their own creeds, and they held to them. And they built their great temples or whatever, and they set up these things in front of the people to look at. But in reality, there's no truth in them at all. There's no power in those. And the reason is when God begins to speak to them to try to show them, all they do is look at their idol. And they're missing the whole plan of God because they're looking at an idol. And so they missed the whole plan of God and all that God is trying to do with them. Now, when we look at the word visit, the first time that we actually see where God comes to visit somebody, where we see that there is a promise made to God coming and he's going to visit somebody in a time in the future that it was going to take place, is in Genesis chapter 50. And it talks about Joseph sees the children of Manasseh and Ephraim. He sees their descendants and he sees his great-grandchildren. And he's coming to a place and he's coming to the end of his life and he's there in Egypt. And he begins to speak to the children of Israel and he tells them, listen, God's going to come and he's going to fulfill the word that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said, when he carries you out of this place, because this is not the place where you're supposed to be, this is not your final destination, there is a place, because God, in the beginning, he gave our father Abraham the promise of going into the promised land, and he said he gave it to Isaac and he gave it to Jacob, and we're here only by the providence of God for sustaining of life, and God has blessed us here, but this is not our final destination. This is not our final home, and God is going to bring us to that place, and he's going to come to you, and he's going to show you the way that's going to lead you to the place that God wants you to be, the place that God has promised to you, and he said he's going to take you there, and Joseph told the children of Israel, he said, you're going to have to make a promise to me that when you go out and you're going into that promised land, he said, you take my bones out. You carry them out of this place. And he said, because I may not be able to see it, but he said, you're going to take my body, what's left of me, my bones, and you're going to carry them into the promised land. Because, you know, all this that he went through, God showed him these things, but he said, I'm going to be in that promised land, because when the Messiah comes and he fulfills all the scripture, he said, my body's going to be there. Because when there comes a time when there's going to be a resurrection, my body's going to be in the promised land. And he was so adamant about that he did not want to stay, even though he lived and God blessed him in the land of Egypt. That was not the final resting place. That was not his final destination. He was going to go to the place that God had promised him, because he's going to go there, and he wants, even it was just that it was just his bones, but praise God, he knew when God was coming back and there was going to be a resurrection, he was going to be in the promised land. And brother and sister, that's the way it is with us, because if God has given us a promised land, if you want to be in the resurrection, then we're going to have to get in the promised land, which is the word of God, because this is the only place that you can be, that you're going to come to the place that you're going to come to a resurrection, because you're going to see that resurrection inside of you before you come to that place. We're going to see that we're already resurrected and sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus before we're going to see the dead saints come out of the ground. And they're going to see, we're going to be able to see who we are, and we're going to call for them to come to be where we are. Praise God. Why? Because we have received our day of visitation. And you got to be steadfast in your belief. That you know where you stand. No matter where all the winds of doctrine that blow this way or that way, that's all right. You know where you're standing. You know what the word is to you and what God has given you. Just like the, you know, you go through the Old Testament, we see how God spoke to so many and give them a promise. And when he began to visit, like Noah, when he began to speak to him and tell him, listen, there's a way that's made for you to get out of this. You see all the sin and immorality and all the things that have went on, but there's a place, there's a way made, but there was something that Noah had to do, and the first thing Noah had to do was accept the word of God, that it was that God had spoken to him, that there was a way made to get out. And then God gave him a commission to do, and he had to take that commission, and whether anybody else believed it or anybody else did anything about it, there was something that he agreed with and said, you know what, this is my commission. This is what God called me to do. And whether nobody else goes with me, that's okay, but I'm going to build the ark. And you know, you go through all the things. You look at Moses being out there and all the things that he had went through in his life, but you know what? Moses had the light. The word of God has shined upon him. God opened his eyes and told him, that, listen, because of what took place back then, there is now all of these people that are in the land of bondage. But you know what? I'm bringing these people out. It's time to come out. Well, here was Joseph speaking to them down there. Listen, there's coming a time you're going to come out of this place because you can't stay here. This is not your home. When everything got... where it got so uncomfortable, nobody wanted to be there, and they began to cry for a deliverer. When the deliverer showed up and he was standing there in shoe leather speaking to them, they could not follow him. They could not believe what he was saying to them. Instead of just stepping behind the prophet as he began to speak the word of God and take everything that the prophet had to say as thus saith the Lord and walk with them, they began to murmur and complain and want to make their own theology. They had to have their own creeds. Yep. But it was thus saith the Lord. Amen. And the only ones that went in were the ones that actually followed what Moses told them. Amen. See, he said, I'm going to show you. He said, I'm going to take you out with a strong hand. He said, I'll show my power in Egypt. Amen. He said, I'm going to show what I can do. And show all the power, all the gods and the deities and everything that they had in Egypt was powerless. Well, they had, because Pharaoh had his time, and they looked at Pharaoh as being a god. Well, he had his time to do what he was going to do. But there came a time when Pharaoh's reign was over with. When everybody thought he was God to the people, and all of a sudden he was going to become powerless. That everything that Moses had said was going to be thus saith the Lord, and there was no way of changing that. When he said, listen, he said, let my people go. Oh no, we're not. We're going to follow my plan. I'm God down here. Well, there's a new God in town. Your God, you're not in control anymore. The I am that I am has come down. He's beginning to speak to you. And you know what? You can let all this take place, or you're going to have the wrath of God. You're going to face judgment. And it's like, well, you can either follow what he says do, or it's death. And even to the children of Israel, when they were down there, they had to follow exactly what Moses said, or it was death to them. When it came time after they went through all of the plagues and everything that they had went through, yet when they come to the time that they had to take the lamb and slay it and place the blood on the door and get prepared and eat the lamb and eat the unleavened bread and all those things and get ready, because tonight is the Passover and now you're going out. Because now as a death sentence has passed by, but you know what? Life has come to you if you accept it. And so the thing is the same thing. If you will take the lamb, the word of God, if you will eat the lamb and take the blood, the provision that's made, then you know what? In the midst of all the death and all the destruction and all the uncertainty, there is a way made that you come out and you'll go out in victory. Because they didn't know where they were going, but there was a way made, and all they had to do was follow exactly what God told them to do. And it's the same way with you and I, because everybody's like, well, what's going to take place next? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? You know, we don't have to worry about those things, because you know what? We don't have to worry about tomorrow, because we'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow gets here. But all we got to do is worry about today and what God's doing, because if God is speaking to us today, because the day is the day of salvation, if God is speaking to us today, if he's speaking to us tonight, then all we got to do is accept what he said and then just follow it. And you know, then you can rest your soul upon that, and you can rejoice in the fact that God has spoke to you and told you what to do. I'm so glad to know where God has placed us, to know what God has spoke to us, to know that God has given us a fivefold ministry, that he's given a ministry. Because, you know, we know that we thank God that we received a ministry. We received a prophet in our day. We received the word, the opening of the word in our day. But praise God, he give us a way that follow that. There is a hierarchy, we could say that. You know, so there's leadership that's made, and we follow that, and praise God that God has given us one that we can follow, that we can get behind. And you know what the problem is if you're not completely sold out to that, then you got to go somewhere else. You got to find where you can anchor your soul. I mean, because you know, somebody I mentioned this before, and somebody was talking about, you know, things happening and everything. Hey, we have never, never, never been following a man. This church been here since 1971. You know what? We ain't never followed a man. It's been the Holy Ghost. When Brother Moat began to speak to Brother Dale about the Word, that wasn't some man, wasn't some man's intellectualism speaking to him. That was the Holy Ghost. But what was it that spoke to Brother Dale all those years ago when he began to read the Scripture and began to see that there had to be an end-time prophet? He didn't understand all those things, but there was something there that began to stir inside of him, that he began to dig into the Word, and he wasn't waiting on somebody else's idea. He began to read it for himself to find out what the Scripture said, and he began to look and began to pray that God would begin to speak to him to open the Word. Because you know what? We don't all get around and read all and have some council that we have to go to, and everybody stand around and say, well, how many people are going to vote on this and how many people are going to vote on that? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous how many people, you know, because they just want to hold on to whatever came in the past or whatever, and they miss God because God begins to speak to them. Well, you know what? If God speaks to you and there's a pathway for you to go, guess what? You're not going to follow somebody else because their path is not your path. Well, praise God. You know what? We had people that were Baptist or whatever, you know, and they were great people, and they led us to a certain point, and now the other people came along and they led us to a certain point, and then we moved on from that. But you know what? They may have stayed there, but praise God. You know what? God led us to a certain point. Now it's time for us to move on. God begins to open things to us and show us greater things that they never saw. But I thank God for the people that he put in my pathway that begin to show me the ways of God. But you know what? I'm still not back where they are. They were an encouragement to me. They were a blessing to me. I thank God for all of them. But you know what? I'm not going to follow that. Because if God brings me to this place, then I'm going to follow what God, because it's the Holy Ghost that's leading me. Well, if it's the Holy Ghost that's leading me, then I'm going to continue to follow the Holy Ghost. If it's the same, as Brother Brown talking about Brother Charlie Cox, the same one that told you to turn around, he's going to take you all the way. Amen. He's going to call you up. It's the same one that started you on this journey. He's going to lead you all the way. Amen. I was telling Brother Wade before church, and some of y'all may have seen some of this Kirk Cameron about whether hell's eternal or not. And you know, some of y'all probably know who Kirk Cameron is. You know, some of us from the 80s remember him way back when, but BC, that's right, praise the Lord. But you know, he's had a podcast, and he's made movies and different things, and you know, he took the time, and I really appreciate him. I don't I mean, I don't agree with all of his stances, but the one thing I appreciate about him was he actually sat down, and him and his son, they have a podcast. They began reading, had a book, somebody give it to him. So he began to read this book, and he began to study, and it had to do with the words called annihilationism, and that means that when those that are cast into the lake of fire, the term that they use is eternal conscious torment. When you go to the lake of fire, you will be conscious eternal torment. That's the term that they use. And he was like, well, this man wrote about annihilationism, saying that there's a period of time, and he said, this goes along with the character of God that somewhere along the way, all of these former things will be passed away. You may go to the lake of fire, and you may go through this, but at some point in time, all this will be done away with. It's like, because the judgment of God is eternal, but the punishment of God's not eternal. And so the way he was explaining this, well, I mean, there's people, boy, I tell you what, they have just strung him out to dry. I can't believe that. And this one man, he was writing, and he was like, all of Christendom, for all these thousands of years, we've all believed that hell's eternal, and you're going to go to hell, and you're going to go through this for eternity. And this is what the church has always taught. And you go back through, and I was thinking, okay, this is the same church history, the same people that were in the past. And if we just want to base it on that, it's like, okay, well, number one, this is the same group of people that believe that magicians made a deal with the devil, and that's how you could do cheap magician tricks. It's like, you know, it's all about sleight of hand and misdirection and all this stuff. And you can go to the carnival, and you can get books and reading how to learn how to do magic tricks. But, you know, years ago, the church actually believed that you made a deal with the devil, and they were going to burn you or hang you or kill you because of what you done. Now, that's the same church. Now, this is the same church, history that burned Joan of Arc at the stake for being a witch, because they didn't agree that she could have, that God would speak to her and show her visions and told her what was going to take place. And this is the same church history that we're talking about that didn't believe in medical science. And all they said was everything was all of the devil, and it was all good, and it was angels and everything like that. And it's like, yeah, but you know, we came a long way from there. Thank God for medicine. Then all of a sudden, you know, like we had all these people dying and different things. Like, and all of a sudden we learned, you know what? You need to cook your food properly. You need to wash your hands. If you're sick, stay away from people. Amazing how all this stuff works. But it's the same. But it's the same idea that the church taught. And it's like, well, this is what the church is taught. Well, at some point in time, it sometimes you need to take a step back and think about what did the church teach us? Because it's the same church that sat out there and they said the only scripture that you can baptize is Matthew 28:19. That's the only scripture in the Bible that talks about baptism. And you get over in the book of Acts, well, we just got to skip that whole chapter. We don't even read that. Because somebody might see that you need to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the scripture, when Peter's and the 11 are up there, said this same Jesus that you know, he said he was made both Lord and Christ. So when we baptize, we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because because the other scripture tells us that Jesus tells them to do that, but when they come out of the upper room and filled with the Holy Ghost and began to preach, then he comes back and Peter stands there and tells them, he said, this is the scripture that has promise. He said, because if you do this, he said, this you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because he said, this scripture is unto you and to your children and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But they will still baptize that way. And they've been holding on to it for forever. But if you actually just take this scripture and actually just say, well, Lord, I'm going to step back and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to read. Because how many times did the prophet say, now, I know this goes against your doctrine. He said, but turn the tape off and get your Bible and read. Write these scriptures down when you go home. Read this. Read the scripture. How many times go back into scripture and read and pray about this? Oh, no. My preacher told me this and my preacher told me that. Well, what do you know for yourself? What did you learn for yourself? No, I got a little pamphlet from the rack at the back of the church, and it says, these are the things that we believe. And then we just put our blinders on. It's like, this is what the church taught me. And you know what? And they go no further than that, because they never have a true experience for themselves, because they never can get beyond what the church taught them. But as Kirk Cameron was talking about, you know, he actually sat down and began to read these things, and he began to study these things. And now everybody wants to crucify him because it's like, well, listen, this is, and he took the time to read it. And I was like, well, you know, I may not agree with everything, but at least I appreciate the man actually standing up and reading the Bible and praying about it. And he's like, I can see where this doesn't fit the scripture. He said, when you go to the Old Testament, you look at all the groups in the Old Testament, all the tribes and everything like that. And he talks about when he talks about Egypt and a lot of the Old Testament prophets, when they begin to talk about all these Babylon and different things like that, that's a spiritual understanding. That's a spiritual kingdom, not always natural. It's a spiritual kingdom that he's talking about, but he's talking about them being done away with, annihilated, perishing, all those type things. They're doing away with them. They're not, and he said the same thing because you look at it, your sins are being done away with. All those are annihilated. They're forgotten. But you're receiving God's life. And so then when you don't receive that, then you're cut off from God and you're going to perish just like that. And I was like, man, I appreciate somebody actually sitting down, because it's like, well, this is what I've always been taught. Well, let's actually just take the time to actually thank God that God came by our way and began to speak to us, because somewhere along God began to speak to us, because we had our own ideas, we had our own confusion, and lots of times we just held on to it. We were still confused, but that's all we knew. Until God came along and began to speak to us, and praise God, he began to show us things and bring us to a place, hey, I understand these things. I see these things in the scripture. Not everybody sees that. But that's all right. See, he sent somebody our way to show us these things, that we could see these things. Just as Moses, you know, be going down there, and, you know, here they begin to cry for a deliverer. They're in Egypt. Well, you know what? God came along and told Moses, guess what? You're the deliverer. Your mama and your daddy been praying and seeking God that they want to deliver. And all these people out here that have been under these taskmasters are looking for a deliverer, somebody to. And, you know, he's like, me? Yeah. God called you to be the deliverer. The commission's given to you. And, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, you know what? You've been through all the struggles and the problems and the trials that you've been through, because it makes you who you are. Amen. And lots of times we receive that same commission. We're not a deliverer, but you know what? We're a child of God, and we're to overcome the world. We're to overcome. We're here to show Jesus Christ walking in human flesh, that you and I are God's hands, we're God's eyes, we're God's mouth, we're God's feet. To reach the world, you are the one that they're looking at. And he's like, well, I can't do this. You can be what God called you to be. You show God in the way that God wants you to show him. God will put words in your mouth that you'll be amazed sometimes when you stand there talking to people and you're thinking, this ain't me. How many times have you begun to speak in a situation and somebody asks you a question or say something to you, and it's like, well, you know what? I'm just enjoying this myself, because it ain't me. But all of a sudden you get the unction to speak, and he begins to speak through you. He brings to your remembrance the things to say. I'm amazed sometimes, you know, and then other times you get done and you walk away. It's like, I should have said this, I should have said that. But you know what? God give you the word to speak in that moment. He'll give you what you need, what needs to be said in that moment to those people. So he brought the people. He sent Moses down there to bring the people out. And all they had to do was follow that the message that came to them. Here's the message that came, and it came through every situation that the children of Israel, as they were going through, every situation that came through, he brought them through that. Every situation. When they came to the Red Sea, he was their delivery. He gave Moses the word to speak. Why are you crying to me? Speak the word and go forward. You've been given the commission to go forward. You're going in the promised land. Why are you looking behind? Why are you so worried about what's behind you? Well, here's the Egyptian army coming and got this great water. That's all right. Speak. You've been given the commission to speak. So when you come up to a hard place in your life, what do? You speak the word of God. All you got to do, just like Brother Ryan and Sister Gabby, when all the problems come and you, hey, there's no good word. You don't get a good word from nobody. Guess what? My Bible's full of good words. The Bible's full of it. I don't have to take what the doctor says, just like they did. You just say, praise God, the word said, he calls us a healer, a deliverer, a comforter, a guide. Well, whatever comes, you know what? I'm gonna dig right in this treasure trove here, and I'm going to dig out the things that fit my situation, and you know what? I'm going to feast on what God said. Amen. Amen. And you know what? Then all of a sudden, when you come to church and you praise God, because you know what? God gives and God takes away. God delivers whatever He comes. We're going to worship God. We're going to praise God for what His goodness to us, and we may not understand all these situations, but God is still in control. He's still sitting on the throne, and He's always going to be in charge, and whether it comes or goes, whether we like it or not, praise God, it'll always work to our good. It'll always be to our benefit. Well, then all of a sudden, when you trust God and you follow what He had to say, then all of a sudden these things begin to change. When it looks like it's your darkest hour and it don't look like anything's going to change, all of a sudden, you know what? The angel of the Lord comes by and He begins to touch that situation. It begins to change, and all of a sudden it's like, that wasn't man. That wasn't medical science. We don't know how that took place. Well, we do. The God of heaven came down in a situation that we allowed Him to work. We give Him because lots of times we get in the way. It's like, well, you know what? We just follow the Lord. Lord, just have Your way. We're going to trust You because this is what the Scripture says. Well, every situation that they went through, God brought them all the way through. When it looked impossible, God was the God of impossibility. He's the God of possibility and impossibility. And He brought them all the way through. When they didn't have anything and they were standing there murmuring and complaining that they didn't have anything, God was the God of supply. And He met every one of their needs and He led them all the way through and began to encourage them and lead them all the way and began to speak to them and show them what was going to take place. And it's because of their unbelief that they stay out of the promised land. Stood there and told them, he said, your children who you think are going to be a prey, that they're going to be killed in this wilderness. He said, they're going to go in. They come out. Oh, if God done all the miracles to bring you out, then praise God, He can do the miracles to bring you in. And they got out there and going around in the same circle. Oh, got in the rut. Down there in the rut of doubt and despair and everything like that. And God trying to get them 40 years in the same mess when they could have been down there in 2 weeks. And sometimes we wonder why God don't come. Well, you know, He's the God that delivers. Well, the problem is we like to stay in the rut. Sometimes we battle the same thing. We've been battling it for years and years and years, and we wonder why we can't get out. Well, you know why? Because we ain't allowed God. Because we hadn't surrendered. We hadn't fully surrendered. And it's like, well, Lord, I'm not going to do anything. We're just going to follow you. And it's like, but we get stuck in a rut. But praise God, God kept his word. And he brought them all the way through. He brought them all the way through into the promised land. You know, you see all the way through when he brought them in, and there they were, outnumbered, outmanned. But you know, every time he turned around, sent the 12 spies in, hey, the land's exactly the way God said it was going to be. Here you got everything that you have need of, and well, we can't go in. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. But you know, as soon as they go in the land, as soon as they get in the land, they get over there. But you know, the spies were over there previously. And you know, they met a lady named Rahab. But when they went over and they were talking to Rahab, you know what? We heard when God parted the waters. You know what? Our hearts melted. You know, we just didn't have no fight in us. We knew that it was over with. We knew, the enemy knew that it was over with before the fight ever started. But you know what? The children of Israel, the one that had the promise, that were more than conquerors, they were afraid to fight. And not realizing the victory was already theirs. You're fighting a defeated enemy. You're fighting a defeated foe, but many times we don't want to get in the fight. We're afraid to get in the fight. But he's already defeated. And all of a sudden, they rose up and they went into the land and took their possession. You and I, we have the same opportunity to face the great enemy. But you know what? We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. To come through and receive exactly what we have need of. And receive what God has for us. You know, there's many in the scripture where we see that went through all these things. And you know, the next person that, you know, I want to look at here, and when we go beyond the children of Israel, but you see them in the land, and you know, God's still bringing to pass his word, the promises that he made, and told him he was going to, because Isaiah made a promise, God spoke to him, and he began to speak that he was going, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You know, because still, even from the beginning, that God was going to come to the place that even Joseph was looking for, that God was going to come to the promised land. He was looking, all through history, they're looking to those promises, and they've heard them. Well, some people, they just got to the point where it was just fairy tales. It was just words. But you know, there were still people that were reading the scripture and still believing that God was going to fulfill that. You see here in the scripture, Brother Brown was talking about the great scholar Zacharias. You know, here he is, and having the word come, and the angel Gabriel coming to him and began to speak to him and tell him what was going to take place. That, you know, that him and his wife, they couldn't have children, but God was going to come on the scene, and they were going to bring forth a son named John. And he's going to fulfill the scripture that he's going to be the forerunner to the Messiah. And you know, here's Zacharias. Well, he can read the scripture. Well-educated man, a scholar. He knew what the scripture had to say. He knew all about it. He knew what the prophecies were that was going to take place. But he couldn't believe that God was going to come on the scene and do what he said he would do. But here's another Mary standing there. Brother Branham said that Zacharias could see in the scripture that what took place before was going to take place to him and Elizabeth. But what Mary had to believe never happened before. But she said, be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't understand how it was going to take place, but you know what? When the angel began to speak the word to her, she's like, you know what? That's mine. I'm just going to take it at what he said. I'm not going to try to figure it out. Because the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. You're going to have a son. He's like, don't have to try to figure it all out. I just believe what God told me. You, out of all the millions of women that are in Egypt, all the virgins that are down here, all the virgins all through history, God would pick you. Well, you know what? That's God's election. You know what? That don't make me anything. That makes him everything. I didn't pick it, but he did. Well, I'm not going to argue about it. I'm just going to accept it. Be it unto me according to thy word. What'd she do? She held on to that word. When nobody else believed that, you know, here's Joseph trying to believe this same thing. Here's the word she's trying to believe. He's trying to believe this. But God showed him in a dream what this was going to be. Began to speak to him. And it's like, well, you know what? Nobody else is going to believe any of this. But you know what? It's her faith and it's his faith that they're walking in. And until time came along, you know, the 28 days, she'd have no proof. But you know what? In time, they began to see something that began to take place in her body. And she began to know, hey, you know what? Something's taking place. And so, shame, shame, shame. See them people. Well, you can believe whether it was of God or not, but it was. But you know what? She carried that reproach. But you know what? She knew what took place inside of her. Because you know what? Nobody else had that angel experience. Had that angel visitation. And it's the same way with you and I. You try to tell people about having the visitation of the Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to you. Well, we just come down to the altar and we shake hands with the preacher. And we make a decision. And it's just like going up to the buffet and deciding whether I want chicken pot pie or beef tips. And I just decided I just wanted the beef tips. And whether I wanted whole kernel corn or cream corn. And I make my decision. Whether I want banana pudding or chocolate pie. I just made a decision. When those people that received the word from Jesus, when they went into the upper room, he said, tarry ye here until you be endued with power from on high. And they just didn't walk out the door that way. Going, oh, we made a decision today. We received the Holy Ghost. And it was wonderful. I think we'll go get some coffee now. No, they stayed there till something took place in them. And when they left, they were different than when they went in that room. They were a bunch of cowards that went into that upper room. When they came out, there was something that was burning on the inside of them that had zeal that was overflowing from them. That, you know what? They were sharing it with everybody, and they didn't care who knew what they had. So when they had these things take place, you know, she knew what was, when Mary knew what was taking place, when she began to walk in that, she knew what she had experienced, and she began to walk in this, and she began to talk about it. When she went to Elizabeth and began to speak to her cousin, listen, hey, God has overshadowed me. We're going to see the fulfillment of Scripture. And it's like, well, you know what? God spoke to us, and we're going to have a son too. And, you know, John been laying there for 6 months, hadn't moved, hadn't done nothing. But at the name of Jesus, all of a sudden, he jumps in his mother's womb and sees a miracle take place. Well, here she is going through all of that. But you know what? When and all the things that they were going through, and then here she is carrying this child. Like, well, guess what? The government tells us that we got to go to Bethlehem. We got to pay taxes. And you can't just pay now. You can't pay online. You got to travel all this way to put it in the coffers. Because, you know, we don't do anything convenient. But it had to fulfill Scripture. And here they are going on this journey. But, you know, long time before that, God began to speak to the Magi. When they began to see the sign in the heavens and they began to journey. Well, she didn't know that. Joseph didn't know that. But God was on the backside, on the other side, speaking to those men. Amen. They began to see the signs in the heavens. Oh, look. The Savior's coming. The Messiah's coming. The King of the earth is coming. The ruler is coming. We can see it by the stars. We know what's going to take place. And here they began to journey, carrying gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And here's this whole, you know, humble little girl with her husband to be going all this way to pay taxes. And not, and having to go through all of the things that they had to go through. Here's the God of heaven coming to be born in a stable. You know, having the least of everything. Having nothing, no comforts of home, because you're far away from home. There's nothing. You don't. Who does she know in town? Maybe nobody. We don't know. We don't know what. We just know it was her and Joseph. We don't know who else was there. But here she is around all them stinking animals. Maybe they went over and cleaned out a little spot for her to lay down. For her to have a baby. But you know, when he came on the earth, he went straight to, the angels came to the shepherds and began to proclaim that the King of Kings was born. Amen. The fulfillment of Scripture. Amen. And the shepherds came to see him. Amen. It's like, who knew that they were in town? Who knew that they were having a baby? Who knew any of these things? And it's all of a sudden, here's all these people. It's like, well, they should be in the fields or whatever, you know. And all of a sudden, here's all these shepherds coming along. And it's like, well, why are they coming? And it's like, well, you know, I'm sure they didn't just sneak into town because, you know, I mean, if I had a heavenly host come singing to me and telling me that this was going to be, this has happened, the King of all glory has come, and now we're seeing this is the fulfillment of Scripture, I may not even be walking straight. You know, all of a sudden, you're just like, the rest of y'all see any of this? We saw this, you know. It's like these people that, you know, I hate to say it, but you know, you see these people that talk about seeing UFOs, and they're all like, and it's like, I think you're. We have a nice little room over here that's padded. We have a nice little medication for you to take. It's like, oh no, every time we have a gathering with the government, those that are a little bit not so stable show up. And here they are in Bethlehem. But it's God showing. And here they are, Mary and Joseph going all this time, and here comes the Magi come into town. Where is he born, King of the Jews? When they went through all of that and not realizing that God had those people coming, the Magi coming to talk, to show, and brought the gifts. Here he is, deity dedicated to death to fulfill the Scripture. And I thought, well, you know, nobody else sees that. But you know what? It was seen by them. It wasn't for everybody. It was for a selected few. Amen. But it was confirmation to the word that Mary held. Yes. It was a confirmation to their faith. Amen. That God was beginning to do these things. Here's the fulfillment of the Scripture. When everybody else thought it was ridiculous, idolatry, whatever. Oh, here you are making yourself something. Thinking that you're going to bring forth the Messiah. Well, she's just following what the Word said. You got to watch these people. You can't have good people in your neighborhood. You got to watch them. We don't want these people in our church. They just bring the church down. And not realizing that God is speaking to them. That was the visitation of God. Amen. How many people walked past Mary and Joseph on that journey and not realizing that they're fulfilling the Scripture? People reading the Scripture and then walking past, and they're the fulfillment of the Scripture. People reading the Scripture not realizing that you and I are the ones that's fulfilling the Scripture. God's, what's God doing today? Well, you know, I wish I could see the move of God. And they shake hands with you. They rub shoulders with you. And you begin to speak to them, and they don't realize that that's their time of visitation. God is speaking to them. God's showing them. And they miss it. When they came in, when the Magi came, and here's Herod, when they come into town, and you know, he didn't even give them a serious thought. Because he didn't understand that what the Scripture said, it's not an earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. But what do you, let me know where the Christ child is born so I can come worship him too. And then what's the next thing he's doing? When was he supposed to be born? When did all these things take place? We got to do some investigation. Oh, 2 years? Hey, well, all the boys 2 years and younger, take them out. We're going to get rid of them. And not realizing the same God that spoke this into existence, that overshadowed Mary, that spoke to the Magi, that spoke to the shepherds, led them to Bethlehem to be the fulfillment of the Scripture where Jesus was to be born. Oh, you don't know that God was going to speak to them and tell them to leave? Hey, time for you to get up and go. Where'd they go? They went to Egypt. Oh, to fulfill the Scripture. Out of Egypt I've called my son. Well, guess what? He had to be in Egypt to come out of Egypt. Well, there was the fulfillment of the Scripture. And not realizing that that was his day of visitation. And he didn't look at it seriously enough that he missed his day of visitation. That the Word of God came to him and he turned it down. He missed his day. And Brother Ram said, see, it's the same way with us. He said, don't let that be to us. He said, this is our visitation time. He said, let's remember Christ, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. He said, don't wait till some regions yonder in the damned, in that dimension where you cannot go into the presence of God and your time is up on earth in the nightmare of horror. You'll remember you had your opportunity and you turned it away. He said, let the young people take notice to this. Let all take notice to it. See, it's our time of visitation. God's speaking to each one of us. Now is our time to receive. We always need to make sure that we have received what we claim. That we have what God requires. See, this is to us. The Word of God came in our day. Praise God, we received a message. And just like all of those, it's not to the world. Many people turn it down, they don't believe it. They've read it, and they've studied it. Many of them have actually claimed, said, "Oh, this is the truth." And you know, I'll bank my soul on this. And you know what? They ain't within. They wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole now. You know, after they've been through so many things, and I'm sold out to this message. And now they wouldn't be within 300 miles of it and not realizing they had their day of visitation. But praise God, he spoke to us. God has given us our day of visitation to fulfill the scripture. And when he gave us this day of visitation, what is it to do? It's for us to bring forth Jesus Christ, just as Mary did, to show the world Jesus Christ. Here, I want to finish with this. This quote is from the message, The Uncertain Sound. Musicians can come if you will tonight. Brother Branham's in the message, Uncertain Sound. I love this quote. He says, Heavenly Father, I pray the prayer for them with all my heart. He said, I give them to you, their trophies of the message, their trophies of your visitation, being here tonight. He said, seeing you walk among us doing works that never have been done since the foundation of the world unto these days. Here they are. They're your children. He said, I commend them to you, Lord. You give them to us, and then we give them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, watch over them and raise them up at the last day. He said, I may never be able to shake their hands on this earth. He said, but when the battle's over and the last trumpet has sounded and the dead has risen from the grave, and the live has been called up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, then may I have fellowship with Jesus Christ and them through around the throne and through the eternal ages that is to come. He said, grant it, Lord. They are yours in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God for my day of visitation. I'm so glad to say I'm a trophy of this message. I'm a trophy of his visitation. That we received a visitation from him. The world can pass by, whatever can happen, but praise God, I'm anchored. I can't be shaken. I can't be moved. I love that song that Brother Joe sings sometimes. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Why, he stood for me. He stood for me and took my place and brought me to this place and put me on a firm foundation. The world is full of idols that people have set up. Oh, they read the message and they say, oh, Brother Branham's a prophet. God sent a prophet. But you know what? They've got their idols set up. Are we holding on to things that's unpleasing to the Lord? I don't want anything to hinder me. And I don't want to be a hindrance to you. God help us. But thank God what he's done for us. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Let's sing a song, brother.
The waters.
Amen.
Key of C.
The deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee.
You tonight. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. You have another song, brother? Let's sing another song before we go. Amen.
Greater than all my sin. KFC.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Himself. We thank God that God spoke what needed to be spoken, and not necessarily what we wanted to hear, but what he wanted to speak through him. So, and that's what we want. Amen. So may God bless you all, and let's just go in the fear of the Lord, and we'll just have a word of prayer before we dismiss. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that you've given us to be in the house of God. We can truly say, Lord, it's been good, Father God, to be in your presence, Lord Jesus. It was good, Father God, to hear from you, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, as we leave this place, but Lord, never your presence, Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would be with us the rest of this week. Strengthen us, Heavenly Father, Lord. Let us just have faith and confidence, Lord God, that you are working all things together for our good, Lord Jesus. and that you are Heavenly Father in control and you're in charge, Lord Jesus. And Father, you would lead us the rest of the way. Heavenly Father, we just love you. We commit ourselves now into your hands. Protect the saints as they head back to their respective places. Protect those that may be traveling, Lord, this week. Father, may you just watch over them. And we just commit ourselves now to you. We love you. We thank you. Give breath to Brother Aaron this evening and strengthen his body, we pray. We ask this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go in the fear of the Lord. We'll sing this as you may be dismissed. The blood of